This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I do love D'Amador Lenore.
D'Amador Lenore again.
Oh, my.
Yes, sir.
You're welcome, Grandy. That was for you.
The number one team in the nation.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of a scary spot to be this year.
Yeah.
That's enough of Oregon for the day.
And scene.
Yeah. I thought you meant the Niners, the number one team in the nation.
still allowed to be.
Not this week.
Not this week. Yeah. I do like D'Amador Lenore. He is making a hell of a case that if the Niners and their salary situation at the end of the year are like Charvarius Ward, D'Amador Lenore, easy call.
Easy call.
Easy call.
Yep. And it reminds you of yesterday for me.
Yeah.
You come out third play of the half, boom, Lenore, pick, big return, in business, touchdown Niners, 14-12. Even with the PAT miss, fine. Yep. Momentum, Niners, Chiefs go 3-and-out, okay. Here we go. Even though you don't have Ayuk, he'd already been hurt by then, and Deebo Samuel had switched into street clothes, and you had a bunch of rooks on offense and defense. You're down by two, and you've got the ball. Let's cook, Brock. And he cooks. And then he burns himself in the kitchen. And he drops the dude on the floor.
He went to the bathroom and forgot that he had the stove on. Yeah.
Overthrows Ronnie Bell by about 9 yards.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. And
what was that?
Maybe it was he thought that Bell would run a little bit of a deeper route,
but you
still have to see a guy and throw it to the guy, and that was just that was like a Jimmy Garoppolo special.
Shanahan said post game that Ronnie Bell did not run the wrong route. That's what the route was supposed to be.
They put it on
Shanahan,
put it on Purdy, and Purdy put it on Purdy. Now I don't know if that's protecting Ronnie Bell, who has already been through one hell of a week.
One bell of a week.
Yeah, like I don't know, man.
You're trying too hard. Yeah, you're right.
If that was just a miss, I would argue that is Brock's most inaccurate throw of his career. I mean, he threw that. He airmailed that thing by 15 yards.
It was giving me Jimmy Garoppolo vibes.
Even Jimmy didn't miss by that much. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, there were times.
Jimmy would have waited until he could have run Ronnie Bell right into a defender.
See it.
And gotten him a concussion. That's what Jimmy would have done. Impossible. Anyway, speaking of Kyle Shanahan and noises, let's see if he made any earlier today as he addressed the media, and then we go right back to your phone calls. This is just a handful of minutes, but you're going to want to hear it, important stuff, and he starts off with an update on all of the injuries.
Injuries from the game. Chris Conley had an ankle sprain. He'll be day-to-day. George Kittle, foot sprain, day-to-day. Deebo Samuel, he had kind of an odd illness, some fluid in his lungs, so technically pneumonia. And confirming Brandon Ayuk did tear his ACL, so obviously be out for the season.
Do you have a timeline for Deebo Samuel?
No, he's we'll see how he's in the hospital still, and we'll see how he recovers here over these next couple of days.
Is there any other ligament damage to Brandon that could complicate his recovery?
I know he had the MCL also, but I didn't look into all of it yet. I just finished with the players, but I was told ACL and there's MCL in there also.
Kyle, you had a lengthy talk with Brock in the locker room after the game. Was there anything you were focusing on in particular when talking to him?
No, we're talking like we always do. I just didn't realize all you guys were standing behind me spying on us. So, but it was just love talking to guys after the game. I just happened to be walking back and he was standing right there. So we stopped and started talking. It really caught me off. I forgot everyone was still in there. We were just hanging out, talking about the game and things like that. And then when I looked behind, you guys kind of scared me. I didn't realize everyone was creeping so bad, but that's just what we all do. We talk.
Looking back at the film, is there anything Brock is not seeing or that he is seeing that isn't there? I mean, when you look at the film?
Yeah, every game. I mean, there's always just same with the other quarterback on the other side.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But you know, those three picks I know Brock would have loved to have back. You know, he didn't have anything on that last one down in the red zone, but he's got to sit there and take the sack so we can kick a field goal and make it a 6-point game.
Are there any coaching points that in particular you're focusing on with him, or is it just all around seeing things the way they are on the field as opposed to what he might think he's seeing?
We got coaching points on every single play. So, like, I can't give an overall just narrative for you guys on a coaching point, but each play is different. And Brock's having a hell of a year. Didn't have his best game yesterday. That's why I'm a little bit late in here. Just finished going through all those 70-something, 80 plays, and got something on all of them for not just Brock, but for everybody.
Kyle, when did Debo go to the hospital? Was it something he didn't realize was as bad during the game, or did he go in last night, this morning?
He went in last night. I think it started acting up in the middle of the night, Saturday night or early Sunday morning, and then it just kind of evolved as the day went. So once we found out he had the fluid in his lungs and stuff after the game, then I believe they sent him over there. I'm not sure the timeline of it, but I just found out that's where he was Sunday night when I was at home.
Kyle, have you had a chance to catch up with Brandon, and what's his initial reaction to the injury news?
I mean, I talked with him last night, just calling him at his house. I haven't seen him today, he was hurting, just bummed out, you know, as exactly how you'd expect. But BA's a strong dude and spiritual guy, and believes everything happens for a reason, so he'll be all right. But definitely a little down last night, and I was just telling him how bad I felt for him, and just let him know we're all here for him through this.
Kyle, I'm sure you probably wanted to ease Ricky in a little bit more than you were able to, but when you went back and looked at the film, what did you see from him, and what are your expectations going forward?
Yeah, I was proud of Ricky just for him having to be ready for some spots that we were hoping he didn't have to be ready for. I mean, not just him, but also Jay Cowing and Ronnie Bell. You know, Conley's been in that role, and we've been utilizing him in a number of spots when guys are out or just taking a couple plays off. But we had to mix a lot of stuff around there in the second quarter and halftime, or mainly halftime. And those guys were in some spots they didn't get reps at, and they're – for the most part, they didn't make too many mistakes and gave us a chance to get back in the game and gave us a chance to win. And hopefully we can build off of that. And, you know, these guys are going to get a lot more reps going forward with BA being out with Juwan and Debo. Not sure if we'll get them back this week or not. So it was a good start for those guys, and they should have a lot more coming.
Where do things stand with Christian and Jake Moody, and also anything on Dre Greenlaw potentially coming back to practice anytime soon?
Christian's still progressing through his rehab. He hasn't had any setbacks, so it's been all good news so far. Be surprised to get him back this week. But, you know, hopefully that the bye week will go well and have a much better chance there right after the bye week. And Greenlaw's still a few weeks after that. Everything's still going fine, but no time soon right now. And Jake Moody with a high ankle sprain, I mean, we know we're not going to get him back till after the bye week at the earliest, so we'll have to wait till then to see how he reacts.
Kyle, you talked about a hard look at the film today. What was it like going over there with that team, and how did you think they responded?
You know, I try to cover as much as I can as the team. I don't get as much into the details with the team because there's so many clips to go over. I try to just let them know what happened throughout the game, the perspective of all three phases, and then we break up into our rooms and detail it in the positions a lot more. But, you know, it's always hard after a loss like that to come in and watch it. I thought the guys handled it well, though. I wanted to show all the spots that, as bad as it did feel, how many times we had a chance to win, and that, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away from Kansas City, but how much we hurt ourselves in that game and how many things that, despite injuries, despite anything like that, that we can dictate. And we did it at times, which got us close, but it wasn't good enough, and we made too many mistakes. And with the turnovers, with some of the things in the red zone, and there's a number of things that we can do a lot better that can lead to a win. And if you don't correct that stuff, it doesn't matter who you play. You end up being a 500-type team.
Kyle, with the injury to Brandon and the situation with Debo, you talked about Conley and Jennings' hip. How does that shape up your strategy going forward with the trade deadline a couple of weeks now closing in? We saw a couple of wide-out movements. How does that factor in into the way you're thinking about the trade deadline now?
It makes you look into everything. I mean, we try to look into everything regardless. Obviously, with more issues that came up yesterday, you still want to look into everything, but has to do with what options are out there, with stuff that we can pull off that doesn't totally hurt us, that helps us now and doesn't hurt us for the future. So there's lots of decisions that go into it, so we'll look into everything, but a lot of times that's just kind of living in hope. Those answers aren't always out there. You got to be ready to get people better in your building and deal with what you got in your building. And if you ever find something that makes sense, we'll never hesitate on it, but that isn't, it's not always available like you hope it is.
Okay, that's Kyle Shanahan, and I think that last one's a dang interesting answer.
About the trade deadline?
Well, I Mike Williams, Cortland Sutton. Those are two names I would keep an eye and an ear on. And if I'm the 49ers, I am absolutely right now canvassing the market for a wide receiver. And I know you said earlier, look, you got two rookies that you drafted, but did you notice his answer earlier in the conversation when he talked about Ricky Pearsall, who did, quote, a good job being ready for things that we didn't want him to be ready for?
Right.
In other words, we don't want to give him too much too soon as his first NFL game. So with no Brandon Ayuk, now Chris Conley is a little bit dinged up as well. Debo Samuel's in the hospital today, no timeline for his return. And Brandon Ayuk is gone for the year. Like, I mean, whether it's for insurance or maybe more, I'm working hard to not get a wide receiver in 2 weeks. I'm working hard to get a wide receiver in for Sunday night. And I don't know if he's going to have a big role or a small one, but no reason to wait for the bye week. Get this person in. Get him some work in a practice game week scenario. If it's only a spot duty type of a thing against Dallas, then give that person 2 full weeks to be ready for Tampa Bay. I don't know where this wide receiver room is going. I'm confident it needs help, though.
Yeah, I don't think that you'd be able to bring him in now. If you brought somebody in tomorrow via a trade, by the time they have their physical, then you're into Wednesday, and I'm told that the Shanahan playbook is so difficult to learn you're going to be able to have a guy just step on the field in 4 days as a receiver and learn all the terminology and learn all the pre-snap movement and all of the motions and all the rest of it.
Did Davante Adams and Amari Cooper not just do that? They just did that.
In this offense.
Well, I mean,
we're talking about the Shanahan offense, and I've heard you say and everybody else say the Shanahan offense is complicated.
But you can dumb it down for 1 week for one player again.
It's an easier fit to do it during the bye week, and that way the person has 2 weeks of a run-up. It's just my personal opinion. And, you know, even if you were to trade for Williams right now, this very second, and you bring him out, you got to have the physical on Tuesday. There's no practice Tuesday, so now you've got 3 days of practice, and you don't practice Saturday, so feels like a little bit of an aggressive ramp-up to get him ready. But, yeah, you may need some help in the wide receiver room. If Debo has pneumonia, and I'm not saying he does, but he's got fluid in his lungs and he's in the hospital. That much we know, and that is scary.
Sure.
When you want to go from fluid in your lungs in the hospital to being an elite athlete who is really the most important thing that he does is run really fast. So I don't know, to go from that to that.
It's not great, Bob.
No, it's not. No, and Chris Conley also is a little bit banged up.
Day to day. Listen, I acknowledge what you're saying. I'm not, look, this is a difficult time and a difficult situation for the 49ers. I get it. I'm just saying sooner than later is better, in my opinion. I don't even know what kind of a role this person would have this Sunday night, but a role, have this person on the sideline ready to go, because you're so hamstrung now that you're like, you're another injury. I don't even, is Juwan Jennings certainly back? I don't know if we know that yet. I mean, you're literally looking for bodies right now. So I think they're going to need to make a move at that position, and I wouldn't wait. You're allowed to. I know you can wait. The deadline is not yet, but I would do this thing ASAP. And these are not expensive moves. These are not hard moves make. So
especially when it's a receiver who the team is pretty much looking to move. You might to, you know, give up a fifth and get back the player in a seventh or some sort of a late pick swap. And you also still have Trent Taylor, who is on your practice squad.
Sure.
And he's a guy you can easily elevate for a week while you're looking to bring somebody in via a trade. The trade deadline's in 15 days, so it's not a total emergency in terms of the deadline itself. So you could wait one more week. You could hope that Juwan's able to play. You could hope that Debo's lungs get fluid free, and then you don't have such an urgent need, and maybe you could make a move, you know, by the end of next week. And if it's Anderson, or you were talking about Cortland Sutton
was
another name that's out there.
Mike Williams, remember they did that deal for Terrace Marshall, put him on the practice squad before the year. I think he would have been up by now if they were loving what they
and
were seeing.
They,
but
they cut him, so he's not.
They?
Yeah,
is he gone?
They
now?
Did
yeah.
last week.
Okay,
they do have T.O. on the practice
squad.
That's
right, Tariq Owens. Yeah.
So I mean, if you're looking at other possibilities, you have a couple on your practice squad: Trent Taylor and T.O. Tariq Owens. So there's options in the building, and I guess if you loved Trent Taylor, he probably would be active more often, right?
Yeah, so, okay, double fade to Dibbers in 5 minutes, but let's get back to the phones. Connor and San Leandro. Hi, Connor, thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Mark, congratulations on your engagement
as
a new father. I love hearing about Dibbs's, you know, kid, and love knowing that we've got a new we can bank on a permanent fixture of the lovely Chrissy being a reference for the rest of the show. So it's just fantastic. It's part of the success of the show that everyone loves the people who are on the mics here.
I offered her a very long-term contract, even longer than Moses Moody, and she said yes.
Max money, too.
Yeah, well, there's no salary caps.
No.
So, listen, what I just heard from Kyle Shanahan, I think, underscores what your last caller said. He's got too much going on. You just lost to the Chiefs in that fashion, and you need to focus on the market dynamics for wide receivers right now. And you know what it makes me think? Like, the thing that comes to mind is stop buying candles and pay the light bill. I don't, you know, when you have a fundamental fissure in the trenches on your offensive line, I don't want you focused on just getting to the bye. I think you don't have to say that with other coaches, because Kyle has personnel control. Now, I don't want to fire anyone. I definitely don't want to tank. I think Brock is our guy. He's our franchise guy. But that part of Kyle's arrangement needs to be questioned. Yes, you know, Mark, you've said, well, you know, it's what got us here. I think the Celtics did a shift with Brad Smith that shows you that you don't always need to stick with what got you here in order to acknowledge how great it was. You know, I look at some of the gimmicks around personnel. I look at drafting a kicker in the third round. I even look at Ricky Pearsall as our first pick last year. And I think some of this stuff is just the result of Kyle has too much on his plate. I'm a bit tired of how long personnel adjustment takes. Like, we didn't get Charvarius Ward until 2022, despite everyone calling and calling and calling and saying the obvious since 2019. Hey, we've got a problem in the secondary. And I fear that because Kyle's the only guy who really gets sign-off and all this stuff, we don't have the ability to shift like the Chiefs did after they lost to Tom Brady and realized offensive line needs to be the priority. Now, we have an offensive line that helps us basically elevate our running backs. You know, we've got a great run-based offensive line, but the story of the future for the 49ers is Brock. And that means you need to focus on pass protection. And I don't know if there's anyone in the building who's specifically tasked about strategically thinking about that pivot long term. And that concerns me.
Yeah, Connor, look, thank you very much. This is fair. That's a very, very fair assessment of the situation. I know what the Niners' answer at least was coming out of the last draft, which is you can say draft an offensive lineman. And if we get to our pick and we don't think there's anybody there who we feel is worthy of that spot, we're not going to just jam an offensive lineman into this hole. Now, in the third round, they went and got a different offensive lineman who everybody really likes.
No doubt.
They're very excited about Dominic Pooney. So,
and 2 years earlier, you drafted an offensive lineman that everybody likes in Aaron Banks.
That's
and
right.
It took him a year, but now he is a fixture.
So, like, I'll defend it from that standpoint. I don't think you can say, hey, this is our positional need, automatic draft that person in first round.
Exactly.
I don't think that's the right thing to do.
Especially this year where like three tackles were already gone.
Right.
Like the really good three tackles were already all gone.
However, could you argue from a larger sense that over a 2-3 year period, the 49ers haven't quite put the resources toward the offensive line that you would like?